Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and Jad Mawad, airline correspondent for the New York Times, is back with us now to continue our January series cross-check about the airline industry. All this month we're talking about airports, security, the restructuring of the industry, and why flying has to be a worse and worse experience for the passengers, which we're really taking up today. And Jad, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. It's great to be here.
So, listeners, our phone lines are open right now for your calls on your flying experience. If it's getting worse, tell us how it's getting worse and what would make it better. If it's getting better, and we'll identify at least one area of air travel that may be getting more passenger-friendly in this conversation, you can call and reference anything along those lines, too. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-WNYC. 9692. Call us up or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we're calling this segment The Ever Worsening Customer Experience. Jad, last week we talked about how the airline industry has been restructuring as a business in the past 10 years. Do you connect those two?
Yeah, I do. I think in many ways the airline has sort of returned to profitability on the back of their customers. And I think those two issues are intricately, intimately related. You know, when you talk about bad customer experience or passenger experience these days in the industry, you're talking about full flights, cramped flights, no middle seat left. You have to pay for everything you're getting. Fares are going up. There's a whole slew of fees. These things, if your passengers are awful, if you're an airline, these things are what restored, saved the industry and restored profitability for the industry.
Last week we talked about how they've managed to convince customers that the extra cost for pillows, for earphones, for checking luggage, because those are fees which have saved the industry, are acceptable. Convince customers that those are acceptable. But those are only part of the story of the ever-worsening customer experience. What about delays, which we seem to hear about more, whether or not they're actually more delayed flights, and keeping passengers in grounded flights for hours and hours on the tarmac. Why do we hear about this happening more and more? Is it actually happening more frequently?
Well, I mean, you know, especially in the New York area, Newark Airport is the most is the airport that sees the most delays. So, if you're flying out of our airports, yes, this is a chronic issue. You mentioned sort of a one bright light in the whole customer experience, and it is the fact that the government introduced a limit on how long airlines could keep their passengers on the tarmac, before taking off.
Customers have fought back successfully in this area.
They have fought back. This came from the horrendous experience of some passengers stuck for 10, 12 hours because of snowstorm or other, you know, reasons, stuck on planes and, you know, with no way of getting out. And they've pushed back, and the government has set up this three-hour ruling, which essentially forces airlines to come back to the gate and allow passengers to get off if they wish so.
And I wonder, though, if it's been working. American Airlines, for example, was fined $900,000 for this in November, but I understand that the airline industry has been canceling flights more as a result.
Right.
So if that's the response to delays,
right,
then it inconveniences the passengers in another way.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think that's it's the law of unintended consequences. I think what the 3 hour delays, I mean, very few flights are delayed more than 3 hours anymore. The cost is too high for the industry. The American Airlines fine was the first big fine that the government slapped, just to sort of draw the line and say that they were serious about enforcing this rule. The consequence, however, has been that airlines have been canceling flights proactively, ahead of anticipated bad weather. And they're saying this is a net negative for the passengers because sometimes, you know, they're canceling flights that might have been able to take off, but they just don't want to take a chance.
Jenny, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I worked for a major carrier out of Newark Airport for 22 years. And I have to disagree. I think that this is totally inflated, that they cancel flights due to space the aircraft from the air traffic controllers. And I think the service is wonderful. And in all honesty, I think they overinflate this whole idea that the service is bad and that people are mistreated. And they take an isolated incident and they turn it into something that it's widespread. And I've worked in Newark for 22 years. It's totally false.
Do you think, though, that let's say starting around 9/11 with all the very inconvenient security measures that have been imposed and with the airline industry consolidation, with the profitability difficulties that have caused them to start charging for more things, with the extra demand that we were just talking about, which is one of the reasons for delays, more people want to fly. So the airlines and airports try to add more flights, and then, you know, everything is more crowded and everything is more slow. That Jenny, whether or not it's the airline's fault, that the experience for the average flyer is getting worse and worse?
Well, I disagree with that. I think so. I've worked there for 22 years in Newark International Airport. I know there that it's increased the volume. But I don't think on certain peak times, of course. You know, everybody wants to travel early in the morning or they want to travel at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So those are peak travel times, which you have to anticipate delays. You know, it's also caused by the air traffic controllers for safety reasons. A lot of people are just unreasonable, and they're not looking at the weather. They're not looking at safety issues, and they're unreasonable. And they've been getting away for years from paying these really low fares. The airlines deserve to make a profit. I don't see they're not being greedy. They deserve to be profitable.
Jenny, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. And Ben in New Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Hi, good morning. I took a flight just before Christmas, and it wasn't a full flight, and I did what the airline said, and I pre-checked my bag online when I checked in, and I paid the fee. But then when I got to the gate, they announced to all the passengers that the cabin was full before we got on the plane, and for everybody to check their carry-on bags for free. And they didn't offer a refund to those of us that did follow the rules that they had placed to check their bags and pay the fee.
Huh.
But then they just went ahead and said, okay, we're going to take whatever bags you have now and check them for free.
Huh. Jad, that there's a story of different people being charged different prices for the same thing.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of a very topical issue, because this is the second area where there is actually some new rules from the government coming down about exactly sort of making the whole issue of fees more transparent. It is frustrating to passengers. The rules are not very easy to understand. Some airlines will force passengers to check their carry on bags and charge you for that. Some won't. It's a frustrating issue, and the government has just come up with a new set of rules that, though they don't address this point specifically, try to make it a little bit easier to read for passengers, you know, what exactly they will be paying when they're booking, for example, you know, what are the taxes, and putting those up front on their websites, and also making very clear, you know, what the bag fees would be.
Gary in Manhattan wants to respond to the customer service agent who called in. Hi, Gary.
Hi, good afternoon, or good morning. I kind of disagree. I don't know if she flies or just works in the airport, but I had five flights 2 weeks ago, and out of the five, two were problematic, the first one being weather-related, although the weather, this was in Denver Airport, the weather was fine, although it had been snowing earlier in the day. But when the connections weren't made, there were hundreds of people who were basically left to fend for themselves without any kind of real customer service. The telephone answering lines of the airlines didn't help, and I spent 2.5 hours bouncing between US Air, Continental, and United, no one able to really confirm the reservation that was somewhere in the computer for a different flight to get me out of the airport.
So what could have been done about that wasn't?
Well, I think the airlines know that there's going to be disruptions, and I completely understand that. I fly enough to know that weather and all sorts of things can happen. But they don't have either an elite line, which I'm able to call. The agents are not able to help you. They put you on hold. They disconnect you. They don't have agents on the ground meeting the planes. I had a mechanical difficulty several months ago, and everyone got off the plane. It was chaos in the airport because no one was at the desk of United to help all these people find other flights.
So they could just be more prepared. We have 2 minutes left, Jad, and I want to touch two things real quick. One is that I mentioned we touch on how at least one area is getting more convenient, and I think that's buying a ticket. It just takes a few clicks on, you know, pick your travel site, and then you can you can go through a machine rather than waiting at the desk to check your luggage at the airport. So maybe that's getting better for passengers.
Right. I mean, I think the airlines have been, for many reasons, one is cutting costs and having, you know, fewer people work for them. But they've also been wanting to give you passengers or us passengers a lot more control in, you know, in our journey. The downside of this, of course, is although you have a lot more control when things are good, when, you know, like the last caller suggested, you know, things go bad, you're kind of left to fend for yourself. And I think the reason for that, and there's not very much airlines can do today, but the reason for that is that the system is running very, very tight. There's not a lot of slack.
Right.
There's not a lot of extra capacity. A few years ago, they would have had flights that would be in half full where they could have reaccommodated
all
and
right.
rebooked these passengers.
True or false, if you know, we had a caller yesterday who said that flight simulators are now so good for pilot training that they train the pilots without the pilots ever flying a passenger jet until their first flight with actual passengers. And yes, they have a co-pilot to back them up, but there are no practice flights on the actual planes that people fly in until it's for real with passengers. Do you know?
Yeah, but it's not as scary as it sounds because, you know, pilots obviously go through flight training school, and then flight simulators are very good. They don't start as captains on the left-hand seat. They start as first officers.
Right.
And so it's true, but it's not as scary as you know.
Jad Moad, airline correspondent for The New York Times, will continue this series with us next week. Thanks a lot, Jad.